Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. Today I get to sit down with a runner who just ran her 20th and final marathon. We talked about how her kids' cross-country season proved to her that she has an athletic side and how her first marathon experience was a roller coaster coupled with grief and how she came back to that same marathon for her 20th race as a redemption run. Her story is very full circle. I think you're really going to like this one. So without further ado, please welcome Sam. Sam, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited to hear your story too. We just touched on it just a little bit, but you've got 20 marathons under your belt. So I'm sure we're gonna learn a lot about your journey today.
For sure.
But to kind of start from the beginning, how did you like, what was your relationship like with movement in the beginning? And then how did you kind of get into running in the first place?
So track was the only thing you could not get cut from when I was in middle school. Mm-hmm. And my friends were like, we should do a sport. And I was like, okay. So we went and we tried out for softball. No. We tried out for other stuff and it never worked out, but they were like, hey, track doesn't cut. Let's do it. And I'm like, okay. So I was literally the slowest kid on the team. I did not finish a single race because they put me obviously in distance since I wasn't a sprinter.
Sure.
And I literally failed every single race. I would like fake an injury or just never finish. And I was like only in like the 800 and the mile. So it's like, now I look back and I'm like, I couldn't finish 800 meters. Like, come on. But my heart wasn't in it. So I did that one season. I did end up finishing at the very last track meet. I finished the 800 and I finished the mile. And I was like, I'm never running again. And then my oldest daughter, who's 20 now, when she was in fifth grade, she started running. And I was like, that's weird. She joined the cross country team because the coaches were teachers and they were like, hey girl, you're pretty fast. And I was like, wait, my daughter? Like, because she just played around, you know, she wasn't really like into sports. And it turns out she was pretty good. So every week she was getting better and better. And I was like, well, I looked at my husband and I'm like, maybe it's genetic. Like maybe we are athletic and we just don't know it. And so we both went out on the cross country course, which was only like a mile and a half from middle school. And we were like, we're going to do this. And we went out and ran like the one, I think it was a mile and a half. And I think it took us like 15 minutes. I literally peed my pants and collapsed at the finish. And I was like, I don't know how she does it.
Yeah.
But then I was like, maybe we could start running. Like, we could probably try this. And so I started running and my sister started running and we were like, let's sign up for a half marathon because we want to go to Disney. So we signed up for the Princess Half. And I think that was 2015. And I was like, as soon as we finished that, I thought I was going to get swept by like the balloon ladies. They're the ones that keep like the 16 minute pace.
Sure.
And I finished in like 2 hours and 15 minutes, I think. And I was like, I was worried for literally nothing.
Yeah.
Maybe I could do this for longer. I could go further.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to register for this marathon. It's in town. Back then I was living in Wisconsin, just over like the Illinois Wisconsin border. And I was like, I can run the Wisconsin Marathon. Like, that should be pretty easy. And so I signed up for the full and my sister signed up for the half and we're like, let's do it.
Yeah. That's cool.
I've probably been running for about like seriously for maybe about a year.
Yeah. At that
which
point.
Was probably a little too early to be signing up for a marathon, but I did it anyway.
Yeah, moved quick. It sounds like, I mean, it's cool that your daughter was like the first introduction into, or not the first introduction, but the first time you were like, hey, let's maybe give this a shot. Like if she can do it, maybe I can do it too. And then roped your sister into it and went for your first half. And I guess just like you said, just kind of proved to yourself that, hey, maybe I'm not, you know, maybe I can actually do this thing. So that makes total sense to me why it would move so fast because of like you signed up for things so quickly. So, so did you immediately like, well, I guess to back up just a little bit, how did you train for your first half marathon, if you remember? Were you following any sort of plan or relying on any sort of resources for that one?
So I was still really into like Run Disney. So I was following Jeff Galloway's Run Walk. Mm. And so for my first marathon, I was just training. And it was the Jeff Galloway program lasts a really long time. Those training plans are long, but there's not a lot of running, which was kind of perfect for me starting out. So it was like run 2 days a week and then a long run on the weekend. And so I just kept up with the run walk. And I think at that point I was doing 60 seconds run, 60 seconds walk.
Mm-hmm. And was that the strategy you used on your first half marathon too? Was the run walk method with your sister? Yeah.
Yes. And it's funny because during that race, I ran the first mile straight out, and I think it was like a 10-minute mile. And then I was like, okay, I know this is not sustainable for me at this point, so I'm going to go into my intervals. And I got into this one section where it starts to like really thin out. And there was a guy who was passing me, and he saw me walk, and he was like, we don't walk, we run. And I was like, cool. Like, yeah, I walk, who are you, so bro? Bye. Yeah, yeah. I was like so surprised by that. But I was like, well, I'm gonna show you, right?
Yeah.
And then he just goes on, and then wouldn't you know it, I'm about at mile 20, I think it was like mile 24. And here he is. He's now walking, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. I catch up to him, and I was like, we don't walk, we run. Bye.
I love that.
I went to the finish.
Yeah. Instant karma for that guy. I bet his whole mindset changed on that day. Like, you totally turned him around. That's awesome. So yeah, so then ran your first half marathon. Was it the race distance that really got you hooked to say, you know, I can do this full thing? Or were you just, you know, that you just built up enough miles at that point that you had kind of could wrap your head around it at that point?
I suffer from like oldest daughter syndrome, so I'm super competitive. And once that clicked for me, like, I can be competitive in this. Like, I want to challenge myself more. So I was like, it was guns a-blazing. Like, I was just
sure.
I was ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So then did marathon training start from, you know, half marathon point on, or when did you mm-hmm. decide to kind of sign up for that first one?
It was right away. I think I might've actually signed up maybe the next week. I mean, it was pretty quick.
Yeah. Cool. And then what was training like for you? Like, how long did you give yourself to train for that first marathon after your half? And were you kind of following the same program, or did anything shift for you?
I stuck with the Jeff Galloway, just because like, that's who I was familiar with at that point. And I was in, some Facebook running groups that were like Disney related. So everyone's just always praising Jeff Galloway, and he's awesome. I actually, ran a marathon with him a few years later. Yeah, he ran with my sister for a really long time during her first marathon. But anyway, I think I want to say it's like 18 weeks. It's a pretty long cycle, but I jumped right in because I was like, I want to like be serious. I want to finish this race. I don't want to give up. And it was just seamless. Like, I've never really taken a lot of time in between races, which I know is not like right, but it's just what I do. It's just now running is kind of like my second nature. So
Yeah. The race distance, I mean, I maybe I'm speaking for myself personally, but I like the structure of it, like having something on the calendar to like, mm-hmm. like, I guess, kind of keep your life moving around. It's hard mm-hmm. to not have an end goal in mind. So that makes a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. So cool. So what was training like? When did you feel like you were feeling pretty strong through training for your first marathon? And then where, if there was any sort of doubt ever went through your head for that first block?
I had tons of doubt. I remember having a little mental breakdown at like mile 12 of a long run once. And we lived like way out in the county. So we were just running on the sides of the highway, and I'm just literally like just bawling my eyes out on the side of the highway. And, you know, people are like as you drive by, but I'm like, don't mind me. I'm just having a moment. There were a lot of times where I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, it'll be like a miracle if I finish. And then I just kept going because I was like, I was motivated to finish the marathon, but I was also on like a weight loss journey because I had 5 kids, put on a decent amount of weight that I had been starting to lose. So that was all kind of wrapped together with that. And that also kept me motivated. And also I really was into all of like the little chews and gels and stuff. I was like really hooked on those like sweet treats because I was, you know, in this period where I was trying to lose weight. So I wasn't really giving myself a lot of treats. So when I was out doing a long run, I was like, Honey Stinger chews? Like, oh yeah. Like, that's my jam.
Yeah, for sure. And how, and hopefully this isn't too personal, but while you were kind of on your weight loss journey, how did that affect, you know, like fueling for a run? Because I know that's something that when people kind of get into it, myself included, to lose weight, that's maybe a little tricky in the beginning to wrap your head around.
Mm-hmm. I learned quickly that marathon training and losing weight did not go together.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, all I'm going to do now is just fuel to like get myself through these runs. Like,
yeah.
I knew that before a long run, I was going to need more carbohydrates. So I'd eat slightly more the night before. And then just rely on my little sweet treats that I would have every couple miles.
Yeah.
But it was pretty apparent right from the start. Like once I went from training to full training that like the weight loss thing was not going to be, something that was going to happen for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I just kept jumping from one marathon to another. But
yeah.
I didn't care anymore because that was the best thing, is that it, like, weight loss just didn't mean anything anymore. I was so into like being faster and running further that I just didn't care. It gave me other goals that made me feel good about myself that weren't like vanity related.
Sure. Yeah. We talk a lot about in running, like our why, and it sounds like in the beginning, your why was I need to lose weight. But then over time, your why became something entirely different. So, yeah, that's cool how it kind of transitioned for you. And I think a lot of people would relate to that for sure. Mm-hmm. So for your training leading up to your first marathon, do you remember what mileage you hit, like as your top mileage before you started your taper period?
I'm pretty sure I hit 20 miles.
Okay.
I think, you know, his plan might actually go to 22, but I think I maxed out at 20 because I had read up on other stuff at that point, and I was like, okay, I think 20 should be good enough.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So 20. And then if you remember, what was that 20 mile run like for you? Were you finally feeling like, okay, I can do this thing. I'm getting close. Or was it a little bit of a, like a nerve wracking experience almost?
I was super proud of myself for hitting 20 miles.
Yeah.
But I was like, I still have to run another 10K after this. Like this, like took literally everything out of my body. Like, how can I possibly do more? So it was good in a way, but also kind of nerve wracking. But then, and I can't remember where I read this, but someone was like, if you just cross the finish line, you set a new record. So who even cares
exactly
how long it takes? Like, it doesn't even matter.
So for your first one, you were going in with the goal of, I'm just going to finish that there. Mm-hmm. That was the mindset. Yeah. I think that's a healthy way to go at your first marathon. Cause you never know what's going to happen either. Like it could be completely the wrong conditions for the day and, you know, then everything's off the table, but, cool. So 20 mile run, you were feeling like, you know, I can do this. I'm proud of myself, but there's still a lot of this race that's unknown. So what was the week leading up like for you? Were you still kind of feeling those nerves or what was going through your head?
Actually that week leading up was a lot for me. My kids were starting to get sick and the race was in the first, Saturday in May but in Wisconsin, it can be, you know, 40 degrees. So I remember, checking the forecast like crazy, like, oh, what's it going to be like? You know, it looked like it was going to be warm. And then my kids just started becoming sick and I started to panic. And I was like, well, my husband is working this day and my sister is running and I'm running and who's going to watch them if they're sick. I don't have any other family or friends around that could like help me. So, except for my mom. And so I begged my mom, like, please. And she's like, I don't really feel good. I've been really tired. And I was like, mom, please, like, this is a marathon. Like, this is a big deal for me. I've been training forever. And finally she was like, fine, I'll just do it. But this is going to go a little dark for a second. I don't mean it to sound like depressing, but she did catch the cold from my kids. And then she didn't tell me about it until a couple weeks later. And she's like, I'm still sick with that cold. And I'm like, how? And she's like, it's like pneumonia now. And then she went to the doctor, found out she had cancer. And then she died like a couple weeks later.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So my first marathon, like that whole thing, like, there was a lot of things in my head as I was running. I'm thinking like, I can't believe my mom did not want to watch the kids for me. Like, I can't believe, you know, my kids are sick. Like, you know, all this like bad, like juju going in. But I was like trying to be like, no, just run. You did the training. The kids are technically being taken care of, you know, but yeah. So there was a lot of like trauma kind of associated with that first marathon which is why I made sure to run it again to kind of like clean it out.
Yeah. That makes more sense to me now. We talked before we started filming, obviously, that you went back in 20 marathons later, I guess, and had your redemption run. Then that makes a lot more sense now. There was a lot of kind of baggage around that first one, it sounds like. So for marathon day, though, how did you feel? Like, did you feel like you did enough training? Where did you feel the strongest? And where did you maybe, struggle, or if you hit the wall or anything like that on race day?
I felt like I was as prepared as I could have been for the first one. There was a picture of me in the newspaper from that race. And
how cool.
It's the lead guy. The picture is of him, like looking at him, like he's all, yes, I'm winning this race. And he did amazing. I think he ran like a 2:30 something. And I'm just going in to like that second half. And so I'm literally hunched over, and I know how I felt at that point. And I was like, if that's how my posture looked, like, wow.
Yeah.
I was not as strong as I thought, but, so I kept thinking, the day before, like, as long as I can just like make it to the start, like I can make it to the finish, like I will be fine. It's all like basically mental at that point.
Sure. So a lot of people joke about on your first marathon, like that last six that you were even saying it, gosh, I still have to run a 10K. I'm like, after you run your 20-mile run, did you hit the wall at any point during those last six, or was it a mental battle? What was that last little stretch like for you on the first one?
I hit the wall way earlier than I think. Okay. I probably hit the wall around like 16, and I was like, oh no, like yeah, there's still 10 miles left. And the only thing, because it's like, also there's not a lot of people around, so I was like, this is actually kind of lonely. But then there were a couple spectators out that just kept me motivated. There was this one old woman, and I actually forgot about this until I went back there recently, that she was holding this pot and a ladle, and she's just banging it, and she looks at me, and I'm the only one around, like literally no one else is around me, and she goes, I am so proud of you. And I just burst into tears. I'm just sobbing, like, thank you so much. Like,
yeah.
But so anything past 16, I was in a lot of pain. Man, when I caught up to that guy and I saw him, that gave me all the motivation. It was like, I just totally gel. I was like, see you, buddy.
Yeah, the spectators and even in your case, like the runners on the that are running the race as well, they can be great motivators for mm-hmm. a race. And it sounds like you said your sister was running. Did you say the half, or was she running the full as well?
She was running the half.
She ran the half. So she had split off for you at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she
was waiting for me at the finish.
That's tricky to not have your own spectators, but it does make a huge mm-hmm. difference to have, just people there who are willing to stick it out, especially if you're maybe toward the middle or back of the packer. So important to have those people on the course for sure. Well, cool. Well, I don't want you to kind of share anything that you're not comfortable with, but obviously you went through a lot of trauma mm-hmm. after that first marathon. So like, what changed for you in the running world as you were kind of going through, you know, all of those things post your first marathon?
Once I had run Wisconsin, I had actually already signed up for another marathon.
Oh, nice.
So you get that the one bug. Was in, yeah, that one was in Milwaukee and it was in November. So I was like, I wanted to give myself like a second shot, 'cause I already knew from the get go that I was just going to finish the first one and then worry about like how I ran time wise, later, because I could already tell that like the time thing was something that was going to like be a thing for me. I knew that because I'm so competitive and like other stuff that it was going to be something. So I was like, I'll sign up. And at that day, it was super cold. Again, it's Wisconsin, so it can flip either way. So I wore my mom's robe because she had passed away in August, in between those two races. So I wore that as like my throwaway. And that was kind of like my, okay, thanks, mom. Like, I appreciate what you did for me in the last race. I'm going to do this one for you. And so that one actually ran quite faster. I think I had like a 30-minute PR, so something close to that.
Yeah, that's great though. I love that send off of just like, you got me through this first one, and now, you know, I'm ready to take on this next one on my own. I think that's really, really mm-hmm. cool. It sounds like that ended up being your why for the second one, right? Mm-hmm. You had your time goal, and then you had this traumatic experience you went through. What changed the second training block that you didn't kind of incorporate the first time around?
I switched from Jeff Galloway to, I want to say Hal Higdon, and I did take one of like the really low, like novice plans, but that had a little bit more running to it. And like, when you're just beginning, like, honestly, speed work doesn't matter. It's more like time on your feet that matters.
Right.
You just start building up that endurance, and the speed comes naturally, and then you can start working on it later. So just by me running, instead of 3 days a week, I was running 4 days a week, or maybe even five, I'm not quite sure. But that in itself, like, got me where I needed to be. I can't remember the question you even asked, but I'm just going off on my random tangents.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. No, that totally answered the question. So like, you incorporated, you changed your training plan up a little bit, but because you had that base, you were able to incorporate more speed work in and really work on pace. But I also think, like you said, just like, once you get to a point where you do have a base, speed comes a little bit more naturally at that point. Mm-hmm. And then you can just kind of like fine tune it from there. But a 30-minute PR is incredible. So how did that feel the second time around to come back after your first experience and just kind of, you know, blow it out of the water?
I was so much happier at the finish.
Yeah.
This time I had my husband waiting for me, and I was like, I am starving. Like, let's get out of here and go eat. Like, after the first one, I was just a wreck. Like, physically, I couldn't walk. I couldn't eat anything. My stomach was a wreck. So this one, I ended and I was like, actually, I feel pretty decent. Like, I remember being really sore in my back. And that was just a lack of fitness, but it just, my whole mindset was like just so much happier to finish.
Yeah. And did you feel like from there, like you said, you're really competitive with yourself. So from there, you're like, all right, like, what's next? What goal can we accomplish next? Is that what was immediately going through your head?
Oh yeah. Like, I was like, I had my eyes set on a couple more Disney races. I really wanted to run Dopey, which is like the 5K, 10K half and full. So I did that three years in a row. And then from there, it just kind of spiraled into other random things.
So you're going to have to explain that a little bit more, because now I'm super curious. So 5K, 10, you run that all in what time frame?
4 days.
Dang. So you're back-to-back-to-back-to-back races. And does it go like that? Like 5, 10, half, and then the last day is the full?
Yeah. And like, honestly, the mileage isn't even the hardest part of doing that. It's waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning every day, because those Disney races start so early and you have to be in the corral so early. Yeah. So that by the time the fourth alarm went off, I was like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have to go run a marathon? Like, absolutely not. But then you get hooked on like the bling. I mean, Disney does the bling right. So I have 6 medals and I'm carrying them around. Like,
yeah. By the last day, you're like, I'm meant to be here. Like, I'm a pro here. Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. I haven't heard of that race, but now I'm super interested in it now. It's cool. So ran your second marathon, and I know you've got 18 more since then. So what, like, over the years since that second one, were you doing like 2 a year, or like, how, what was the frequency of the marathons from the second one?
So I actually have run more marathons than I have half marathons at this point. I just got really hooked on doing them, and I've done a couple where it's been like a couple weeks apart. I want to say it was like Fox Cities and then another one. And then I did Chicago as like the last of the three. And that was the first race where I did not walk at all. And I thought, like, wow, like, life couldn't get any better than this.
Yeah.
But then I've also done 2 marathons in a weekend. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was tough. That was in 2017. It was right before we moved to Florida. And I did Wisconsin Marathon again, because I've done that one 3 times. I did that one on Saturday. And then we drove to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which is kind of like on the other side of the state. And then I ran the Eau Claire Marathon the next day.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. What is it about the marathon distance versus like the half marathon or even the ultra distance that really, you know, that's kind of your sweet spot?
I think that before, the marathon was like my favorite because I didn't have to do very much speed work in order to be better at it, because just with that distance, like, just getting that time on your feet was super helpful. I have gotten faster in the other stuff since then, because I've taken my focus away from the marathon a little bit. I was trying to run them less often once I moved to Florida because it's just so hot here. And
yeah,
like all the really good races, I feel like, are in the fall in like, you know, anywhere really. So
yeah,
it's just really hard training in Florida in the summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. I'm from the West Coast, but I moved to North Carolina a couple of years ago, and it's not nearly as bad as Florida, but the running in the humidity versus like when I used to live out West and there was no humidity, it's brutal. Mm-hmm. So I can't even imagine like Florida would be 10 times worse in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, cool. So I guess I'm really curious about the marathon that you ran in the same weekend, the two. So how do you prepare for something like that? And then do you do some sort of like taper in between, or how does that work?
So I followed a Hal Higdon race plan again, but then instead of like the long run, so say the long run was 20 miles, I did that Saturday and Sunday, or the long run was 18 miles, I did 18-18. So I just doubled that every week. And I mean, it was crazy, but a lot of people didn't know about it, 'cause like, I really wasn't posting on social media at all, about that kind of stuff. And so I ran the first one and it was a PR. So
you put it all out there.
Yeah. That was the first time I broke 4 hours, and I was like, okay, well, hopefully tomorrow I'm not too sore. Oh my.
Yeah.
I cried at the start. My husband was kind enough to run the half the first day and the second day. And at the Eau Claire Marathon, like the half and the full, they meet again before the finish. So, and the half started after the full by a little bit. So I'm crying at the start. I'm saying, I'm not going to do this. My legs hurt so bad. My quads were absolutely shredded from the day before. But I had wrote on the back of my shirt, because I wore the race shirt from the day before, and I wrote, I ran a 3:55 yesterday. And people were stopping me along the course, running up next to me, like, wait a minute, like, you ran a 3-hour and 55-minute marathon yesterday? And I was like, yeah.
Yes, I did.
And those people, like, everyone on the course was like cheering me on. So like, that was great. Until I got to the point where my husband and I were supposed to meet. We had our cell phones on us. I remember that, because I called him and I'm like, you're supposed to be at mile 20. Where are you?
Yeah.
He was like, I'm here. And I'm like, I'm waiting. Like, I can't, he's like, just keep going. You're going to find me. I'm like, maybe like 20 feet ahead. And I was like, sure. Okay. So I caught up to him. But by that point, my quads were so shredded, I could not run walk at all. Like, I just could only run, but I also couldn't get started running because my quads hurt so bad. So I would hold on to his shoulder, and then he would just start running, and I would fall forward and just catch myself into a run.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So that's insane. But what was the motivation to do the marathons back to back? That was it just another challenge for yourself that you wanted to accomplish, or something like internal that you wanted to go to sign up for?
I figured if I can do Dopey so many times, I can definitely do two marathons in the same weekend. And
sure.
Basically everyone that was running with me was like, oh, you're training for a 50 mile. And I'm like, no. And they're like, then why are you doing this? And I'm like, I don't know.
Coupon. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was actually what I was going to ask, was if you ever thought about doing anything in the ultra space, because you had such a base that you had worked up at that time.
I actually have a funny story about an ultra I did. It was the last year they had it. It was the Everglades Ultra. And that's like, obviously in the Everglades, and it's super hot, and it's in March. Well, it was in March. So my sister signed up to do the 50K. I signed up to do the 50 mile. In hindsight, terrible choice. we load up, and there have been some stuff on the news about things that are just like going around and things that were being canceled. And I'm like, well, that's not going to happen to us. We drive down, we get to the packet pickup, and they're like, the parks department canceled the race because of COVID.
No.
And I'm like, what do you mean canceled the race? We drove 4 hours and no one said a word before this. And they're like, we literally just found out. And I was like, okay. And they're like, well, we're going to work on it. We'll see. We're going to like talk to the governor. And I'm like, okay, sure. You are.
Good luck. Sure.
So my sister and I decide, you know what? Forget it. We go and get this gigantic calzone. We get some beers. We're in the hotel room. We're just like having a good old time. It's 8:30 PM. And I get an email alert on my phone, and I'm like, the race is back on. I'm like, oh man.
Oh my gosh.
What have I done?
Yeah. What a turnaround. Oh my gosh.
So now I show up to the start line in the morning and I'm dehydrated from beer and like way, way too much like cheese. And it was 91 degrees and I thought there would be shade. I don't know why. Like, I guess I'd never been to Everglades before. And
yeah,
I've never done an ultra, and I've only done like trail races before, and those were always had trees. So I didn't expect to be in the full sun, and I was absolutely getting scorched. I was so dehydrated. I was crying, and I was like practically dust falling out of my eyes.
My gosh.
I'm like, I got to about 37 and a half miles, and then like a ranger had pulled up next to me, and I had been alone for so long. It was like, I didn't even know if I was on the course. I'm like, am I going to die out here? Who knows?
Yeah.
And she pulls up with a guy who's literally like throwing up, and she's like, do you want to be done? And I was like, yep. So
yeah,
she drove me to like, I don't know, it was probably only like 0.2 miles to the aid station, but it was like, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is lonely and boring. And I couldn't stream any music because I was in the middle of nowhere. So I was like, I didn't think about that either.
So you're just alone with your thoughts for 50 miles. That's intense in its own. Like even without any of those other factors, what in the world, like canceled, not canceled, 90 degrees, like what a ultra experience for you. My goodness.
Yeah, that was enough for me. I was like, I think I'm done.
Yeah. Back. So did you go back to the marathon distance from there and just keep running just marathons? Yeah. That sounds like a much better experience than that first ultra experience. That's pretty crazy. Cool. So then I know you've ran a couple majors as well. I know you've ran Boston and then you said Chicago as well. Is there any other ones that you've ran?
I ran New York City with Team Ultra in 2019.
Cool. So you've got a few majors under your belt. Do you think you'll ever go for all six? Is that the goal?
No, I have absolutely zero desire to get that medal. Uh-huh. I feel like it's just overpriced. And when people get it, you're like, okay, you got it. So then what?
Yeah.
It just means your whole life is dedicated to a ton of money. Yeah. So yeah, I'm like, no, I'm good.
I totally can get that. But still cool that you've been able to run three. So what, if anything, is different training for like a major marathon versus something that's local to you?
I think for me, the biggest difference is how I prepare like a few days out. So, I run Space Coast Marathon or half marathon every other year. I've been alternating. Although I'm done with the marathon now, so I'm just going to do the half, but that's like my local race. I know for that race, I can eat my local pizza because I always like to eat pizza the night before a race.
Yeah.
I'm just not usually so much like during the ultra.
Sure.
But when I'm like out of town doing a race, I have to treat it completely differently. And like, I did not do that very well in Boston and that cost me the race completely. Mm-hmm. But for other races like Chicago, when I ran it the first time, I was local. Because I lived just over the border. So it was only like a 50-minute drive. The next time I ran it, it was out of town. So that was a little bit different for me. We had to like kind of change what we were going to do breakfast-wise. I came up with the idea of packing food with me now. Like, I don't know why I never thought of this before. Usually because like when you bring a carry-on luggage and stuff and you can't bring certain things. So I just started checking a bag and like literally half of it is snacks. Like I bring like a loaf of bread, not just regular bread. I want a fancy, like big loaf of bread. So it's like this big.
Yeah.
And my, you know, graham crackers and fruit snacks and whatever, just so that no matter what, I can eat this, at least try to eat the same.
Yeah, that's smart. I like that a lot. I like brought my own coffee with me to the place that we stayed, like in a jar, because I was like, I'm not even going to mess around with somebody else's coffee. Like, who knows what's going to happen? So, I think that's smart. So it's the leading up, the right before that was really the difference for you for the majors. And I know I remember from just following you on Instagram that Boston was maybe not the experience that you hoped for. Do you mind just breaking down that experience and what was different for you from some of the other races that you experienced and like anything that you learned from Boston?
So I learned that, and I should have learned this prior, but I do not do well with point to point races. That's like a race where you got to get on a bus and haul it to the start line.
Sure.
Usually it's a later start in the day. I like a race where it's like 6 or 7 a.m. Like we're out there, we're doing it. I've bonked really hard. I didn't finish Grandma's Marathon the second time I did it. Again, that's like another point to point race. With getting the bus super early, that race starts incredibly too late, in my opinion, for that time of the year. And I didn't finish that one. And then same thing in Boston. I knew, because my last marathon was a DNF, that if I didn't finish Boston, like I don't even belong in this space anymore. Like, I just need to prove to myself that I still belong here. So when I got stomach cramps at like mile 4, and I was like, the same thing happened to me before grandma's marathon the last time when I didn't finish. So those thoughts are running through my head, like, you're not going to finish this. And I'm like, no, like, I spent a ton of money to come here because Boston is so expensive. Right. I'm like, my husband, you know, took time off of work for this. Like, he's literally waiting for me, although he never once saw me on the course because I was so far behind where I was supposed to be that he couldn't track me properly. Yeah. So Boston, like, once I had the stomach cramps, I knew that I was going to be in a world of hurt for about the rest of the race. So I was like, I'm going to back off the pace. My coach had told me, you know, don't go out too fast. So I didn't. I stuck with my 7:45, which was like the ultimate goal pace I had. I thought that we could go probably 7:25, but I was like, I'm going to take it easy because this is a later start and I know I don't do well with that. It was like 10:50 in the morning when I crossed the start line. And the stomach cramps hit and I was like, I'll back off the pace. I started running like 8:30s, 8:45s, and it wasn't getting better. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, my whole abdomen was like one giant cramp. Like, I couldn't take a single running step without it just like seizing. And I'm like, I can't do much more of this. So I was like, I'll just walk. I'll walk for maybe 20 minutes. I'll walk for a mile. I'll walk for whatever. Yeah. And I'll start running again. And I thought the cramps would just go away. They never did. So I did run. I mean, I made that reel that like went viral. I still get likes on that today, which I think is bizarre, and weird comments, but yeah, I didn't actually walk the whole like 14 miles to the finish, but I walked a significant amount. There were some like 20 minute miles in there because I was just like, I physically can't do anything else. I just was so miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a, I guess, like, disheartening feeling when your body kind of works against you when you've put in all the work to get to that point. What were you telling yourself, like, when you were having to walk, what were you telling yourself in your head to get yourself to keep moving forward and finish the thing?
Like, there's so many crowds. I mean, the streets are just lined nonstop and these people are cheering for me.
Yeah.
I'm literally walking on the side and just clenching my hands to my abdomen and they're like, you got this, girl. And I'm like, I have nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just start like cracking jokes and I'm like, you know what? I had saved that, that audio for that reel that was like, you know, I walked whatever, 48 blocks in $400 shoes. And so I was like, I had saved that just in case I had to walk. And I thought I was just going to walk through like maybe a water stop. I didn't think I was going to walk for, you know, half the race or whatever. But knowing that I had that, and I was like, you know what, at least I got something funny to come out of this. So who even cares? Like, I grabbed a beer from someone's hand. I thought she was handing it to me. She wasn't. So after I grabbed it, she goes, hey. And I was like, oh, I thought you were giving that to me. And her like boyfriend or husband was like, just give it to her. And she was like, okay, take it. Cracked that open. And I just slammed it as I was going. I was like, whatever. There's no rules here. Like, it's just whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just shifted the whole mindset too. All right. You know what? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do what I can. Like, I'm just going to have a good time if I can. I flew all the way here, spent all this money. I'm just going to like do what I can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like that's, what do they say? Like A, B, C, maybe D goals that you have on a race. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you've got more marathons in your belt obviously than I do, but it seems like that's just always something you have to have in mind, is that you might have to go for the C or the D goal, and it's better than DNFing. It is, you know, if you finish the race, you finish the race. So, cool. So then when did you, cause I know you had your redemption, you went back and you ran your first marathon again. When did that happen? That was after Boston, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 19 days after Boston. And I had thought about, running it. again. But I was like, I don't want to do it this year. And then there's another local race here that I was kind of trying to avoid. It's like a 5K. So I was like, it would be great if I was just out of town for that weekend. And my husband was like, Wisconsin's that weekend. You should go run Wisconsin again. And I was like, you think? And he's like, it's time. And I was like, yeah. All right. So I called my sister because she's been itching to go back home. And she was like, I'm game. Let's go. So I signed up with 10 days to go before the race. And I didn't tell anyone else. Like, no one knew, because I was like, I don't want to say, like, guess what? I'm going to get my redemption. And then, like, absolutely fail, because I had done that with Grandma's Marathon already, because I had run that one and I did terrible. I was in like a medic for like 30 minutes before I finished. So I wanted redemption. I ran that one again, then didn't finish. So I was like, absolutely, I'm not telling anyone about this race.
Yeah.
And then I got sick. I signed up for that race. And I started to feel sick that night, and I was like, I cannot come down with something. Like, I literally just signed up and I took like, I don't know, a billion supplements, but I caught the cold that all my kids had. And so I was like, I was barely even running between Boston and Wisconsin Marathon, because my body just couldn't. I was just felt so run down and just sick. And so then it put doubts in my head, like, oh my gosh, am I even going to finish this? And even when I got to the start line, I was like, oh, well, at least I didn't tell anyone, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Do you think that took a lot of the pressure off of the race, that like ended up in a better result, was just being like, nobody knows, like, this is just for me. I'm just going to do it. Yeah,
absolutely. Cause I'm just like, I'm real mental. So
sure.
Once I put that pressure on myself more than anything else. And I know no one actually cares about my times. Like,
sure,
I'm literally
sure.
the only person. But I did get a little bit of backlash after Boston's. Like, some people were really mean in my reel, and then some people were not so nice in real life. So I was like, I can't tell anyone about this. But it made it so much easier, because I was doing it for me. And I will tell you, I did walk quite a bit at Wisconsin Marathon, because I just was so dizzy. I was so afraid to drink water. Which sounds stupid, but that's when I started to get a lot of pain when I ran Boston. It was right after I took a sip of water. So I was being very cautious about how much I drank, and it was too little. So I started to get a little dizzy, and a medic like biked next to me for like the last 4 miles, I believe. And it was actually, she was hyping the crowd up. So that was kind of cool.
That is nice.
Like, she's, you know, freaking doing this. I'm like, yeah, I know.
I'm doing it. Yeah. It sounds like you were fighting quite the mental battle. I mean, from Boston, and then this being a race that you're coming back to years later, and like feeling sick, which last time around, I know your kids were sick the last time you ran it. So like, man, so that leading up to the race, like what, I guess it's a similar question I asked before, but just like, what were you doing to keep yourself motivated to even want to do the thing still?
I just told myself, like, I have to close the chapter on, I guess, living there. And I had a lot of feelings associated with that race.
Yeah.
And I wanted to kind of wrap up marathoning for myself, because I'm not like old by any means. I'm 43, but I feel like for my body, like, I've put in enough marathons, like, I'm good now. I want to stick to like the half and like the 5K and stuff like that. So I was just telling myself, let's just have like a celebration run. Let's do this and have fun. And we already know the course. False. I did not, because the course has changed since the last time I ran it. that freaked me out at first. I'm like, we're going the wrong way. They were like, it's a double loop course. I'm like, double loops? What? But so I just wanted to kind of close the chapter.
Yeah, because this was, like you said, marathon number 22. So it was like, you were also closing a couple, you know, a long time of marathon running. I know it's silly, it's just a round number, it's just another number, but like, I bet that that really felt like a chapter as well, the marathon number 20. Which is pretty cool. So I know you just kind of talked about race day a little bit, but like, what was the finish line feeling like finishing that one for you, knowing it was a, you know, kind of a for fun race, knowing you were closing a chapter? Like, what was going through your head?
There were so many emotions. Like, well, I was like, I was so sore because my mileage had been low for like 6 weeks because I was in taper for Boston. And then I barely ran in between the two races. So I was like literally just running off of base fitness. And like, that was it.
Yeah.
So at the Wisconsin Marathon, the finish now, you have a small out and back of like 2 miles out, 2 miles back. So you have to pass the finish once and you're like, I wish I was there, and then go out 2 miles and then come back. And it passes Jeez. By this, it passes by a bar. And at that point, when I got by the bar and there were all these people outside that had finished the half, and I was like, I stopped and I was kind of a little dizzy. And the one guy comes running over and he's like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm just a little dizzy. I'll be fine. And then the medic saw him run over to me. So she came up next to me and she's like, I'm going to bike next to you the rest of this time. And I was like, you really don't have to, but I hope you like Taylor Swift because my aftershocks or mouth shocks died. So I am playing my music out loud and she goes, it's fine.
Yeah.
So we just, we went out and it has like this, a lot of really steep hills too, which was like absolutely killing me the second time around. We come back, and when I saw that it was like a mile to go, I'm like, okay, like I can kick this in. I don't need to walk anymore. Like I know I can finish strong. And when I passed that bar again, those people were waiting for me to come back and they were like losing their freaking minds. Like they were so excited, cheering me up. The lady on the bike is, you know, screaming at them to get me going. They're screaming for me to go. And I can see it in the distance. I'm like, I have one more turn. Like, let's freaking go. And I dropped it down to like 6 minute pace, literally
giving
everything I had. And my finish line photo, I'm like I'm, you know, a tiger, whatever, ready to pounce, because I really wanted to get in under 340 because 340 is like my qualifying time for Boston. And I know that you need like a probably a 6 minute buffer there to get in now. So my 338 won't be good enough, but that's fine by me because I don't want to go back there.
Yeah.
But I just really wanted to get in under 340 and I was able to. So I was so elated, but holy cow, I was so sore. I like collapsed into the grass and just crawled. I crawled most of the way back to the car.
Oh, I'm sure. Like dropping it down to a 6 minute pace for that last mile is pretty intense. But man, what a cool feeling. Like I just got chills even you saying like the people at the bar were hyping you up, the person on the bike was there with you. Like what a cool little community that you had around you that last little bit to carry you through. That's awesome. So I guess now that chapter has been, you know, you wrapped it, it's something that you accomplished. Like what has shifted internally for you, you know, when it comes to running?
I had gotten into running like 5K stuff. My kids joined the cross country team, my older daughters, and then I started kind of going to practices and doing that kind of stuff. And then I became the coach. And I coached high school cross country and distance for track and field for 3 years.
Cool.
And like I was training the kids the same way I was training myself, and I was training them really, really well. So I got super fit. I got super fast. I broke 20 minutes in the 5K, which I didn't ever think was possible. And now I just want to get back to that speed. I feel like I can still PR the 5K. I just need to like not be marathon training because those two, they are not friends.
Completely different. Yeah. If you could just for there's a lot of newer runners that listen to this podcast. So mm-hmm. if you could maybe like break down the difference between training for a 5K and training for a marathon, I think that would be pretty helpful.
So 5K training is a lot of speed. You have a lot of VO2 max workouts. There's a lot less distance for long running, like completely less. Like I probably maxed out at 12 miles, which is actually a little bit on the high side, but 12 miles for my long run when I was running with the kids. So
yeah.
it's really similar, but it's, you can still train for a 5K while marathon training for a little bit until
sure.
the runs need to be too long. And then you start kind of losing that speed. Your legs get tired, basically.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So, so speed, you're shifting more towards trying to PR your shorter distance time. So how mm-hmm. is that, you know, and like you just said, training for a marathon, it's a completely different schedule. So how is that less days a week that you're training, or is it still pretty much a consistent schedule? You're just changing the mileage and the types of workouts. What does that mm-hmm. look like?
It's changing the workouts. I tend to do, instead of mileage, I do minutes. So it kind of gives me a little bit more leeway on the easy days. Like if I'm really feeling tired, like if I run 60 minutes, it could be, you know, 6 miles or it could be a lot more. It just kind of depends, on how I'm feeling on that day. So it gives me a little bit more flexibility. I'll be doing a lot more speed work though, because I have not done any speed work in a very, very long time.
Yeah. I think you answered it. Are the speed workouts now, have those become like your favorite type of workout versus some of the other stuff?
The actual speed stuff I find very, very challenging. I don't typically like it, because when my heart rate gets up, like, and I start to like feel kind of queasy, like that's never my favorite thing, but I know that that's what it takes for me to get faster. So I suffer through it, but I really like tempo runs and like threshold runs, something that kind of takes you there, but you're not like dying at the end.
Yeah. I've grown to like tempo runs a little bit recently too. It's I'd like that like you said, you only have to push yourself and get your heart rate up for a second. So you can kind of like give it 100% knowing that you're going to be able to back off for a second as well. So yeah, I think it's good once you have a good base for yourself to just kind of break it up with workouts like that, keep things a little bit more interesting, but well, cool. I mean, I appreciate you kind of breaking down that was, I could talk to you for hours because you've got so many marathons under your belt, but like, if you could summarize 20 marathons under your belt, like what lessons you learned, how would you summarize those lessons?
I would say what I learned about myself was that I am so much stronger than what, like, I give myself credit for. Like, I don't know. We all have that inner like demon that's telling us like, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. But this is something that makes me feel like I am good enough. Like I can do hard things. I can be tough. Like, look at what I've done. Like that a normal person doesn't do these kinds of things. Like I'm a little abnormal, but that's in a good way, you know? Like,
yeah,
I think that just learning that inner confidence in it, once you get that confidence, I'm telling you, people just gravitate towards you. I don't know if it's just because I'm out more, but like I've had a lot more friends since I became confident from running. Like it's brought me out of my shell. It's opened me up to so many communities online and like in person. It's such a gift. Like marathon running changed my life for the better. I'm happy to be done with it because I want to do other stuff, but I'm glad that I took the time to kind of do it so I could learn more about myself.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. It changes a lot. And especially like I've said this before, but 100% encourage people like as you're training for your first marathon or training for your first half marathon to document it. Cause I think like you said, it opens up a lot of opportunities like in your community. Maybe you don't meet a bunch of people online, but even posting, you're going to find your local run group potentially, and you're going to find people that run locally to you. And I think it's more than just running 26 miles. There's so much more that goes along with it.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. So like I said, there's some newer runners that listen to this podcast, and kind of a question that I get a lot is just to ask, you know, guests for advice for that group of people. So for newer runners or people who are looking to get into distance running, like what advice would you have for somebody like that?
I would say if you're starting out like brand new, run, walk, because it's just a lifesaver. I mean, it gives your heart rate a chance to come down. It saves your legs a little bit. And there is absolutely zero shame in walking.
Yeah, 100%. Not at all. There's a very slim number of people, I feel like, in the marathon world that are actually running like point to point, no stopping, no walking. Like, it's totally fine. I think that's great advice. And then for maybe somebody who's at the half marathon point thinking about signing up for their first marathon, what advice would you have for somebody like that?
I would say number one, do it. And number two, test out every single little thing that you're going to do on race day, especially hydration and nutrition. Like those, that's the game changer, honestly. Like I found out at Boston, carb loading, like a lot, not for me. Like my stomach can't handle it. Had I tried that during a long run, like yeah, I probably would have figured it out and been like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Right.
So, I mean, you can run 20 marathons and still not get these things, but that's my number one advice.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, I mean, you would be the expert on this, but I'm sure your body also changes over time too, where you have to consistently mm-hmm. be like trying new things out so that you can adjust as your body's adjusting to, you know, just different levels of fitness, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually had somebody reach out to me afterwards, after Boston, and was like, there's actually evidence that if you're like perimenopausal, which I'm 43, so yeah, that you like can't process carbs the same. So I'm like, well, that would make a big difference on why, you know, some of these like 25-year-old marathoners can do this, and I'm 43 and I can't. And also
right.
people in general like aren't all the same. So what works for one
yeah.
doesn't work for the other.
Totally. Yeah. Trial and error is huge. Just, yeah, like you said, just try with mm-hmm. anything and everything on your training runs. And if something sticks,
yeah.
keep going for it. Well, cool. Well, that kind of leads me into my last couple of questions, which are just mm-hmm. like data points. Like I said, there's a couple of a lot of newer runners on this. I know when I was a newer runner, I didn't even know what brands were out there for these sorts of things. So like disclaimer, like we just said, trial and error is your friend. Do what works best for your body. But for you, what has been your favorites mm-hmm. for nutrition, for fuel? What are your go-tos?
Morton gels. It's the only thing I can tolerate anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't handle this sweet stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can manage to drink Tailwind, but it's very sweet. So I've just been sticking with Morton gels and water.
Yeah. Keep it simple. Not too much flavor.
Yeah.
And then what about shoes? Have you had different shoes that you've been fans of over time, or there's some that have been pretty consistent,
oh, yeah.
different race shoes,
mm-hmm.
or training shoes? Like what shoes do you like?
So I started running, I think, in Nikes, but they weren't even running shoes. Just picked them up at the store. Then I moved on to Saucony, and then I blew through the ankles on those. And then I went to Brooks, and they changed shoes every single year. So I didn't like the new updates. So then I switched over to Hokas. My toenails started falling off. Then I switched to New Balance. And that's where I'm currently in a New Balance phase. And my daughter works at, Running Zone in Melbourne, Florida, and that's our shoe store. So
cool.
She's always like up on the technology, and she's like, you need to try these, you need to try those.
She's the shoe plug. Yeah.
Yeah. And then for like race day, I race in Vaporflies. I'm not crazy about the Vaporfly 3s though. I've worn them for a couple races and I'm like, ugh. But
okay.
I'm hoping mm-hmm. that I can find a different race shoe that works better for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure what you would wear for a 5K would be different than you would wear for a marathon, right? In terms of shoes.
Yeah, typically, if you're gonna race like on a road race, like people will be wearing like Vaporflies. But if it's like a cross country type of race, which I have run like the USATF Masters Championship in Boca, that's a cross country race, and those are more spikes.
Okay. Gotcha. Cool. You know, it's funny. Like I said this on the last episode, so I'm going to sound like a broken record, but you're now the fifth person in a row that has been like a big fan of New Balance. And that's just, I've always been a Saucony and a Brooks girl. So I'm like, I'm going to have to go try on a pair of New Balance and see if I like them. I'm getting convinced here, but, well, cool. Well, I guess my last question for you is just what's coming up next for you. I know we talked a little bit about, you're looking to stay in the speed world, try out some more 5K races, but do you have anything on the calendar you're working on right now?
So I always run Space Coast every year, and that's the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So I am signed up for the this year. And then I am going to run a 5K in the fall. I'm just not exactly sure where or when. Typically in the fall here, the races are extremely hot, like in the 90s. So if I could avoid that, that'd be great. But
yeah.
I want to run a fast 5K this fall. So all summer long is going to be dedicated to like 5K training.
Cool. Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing how that transition is for you. I feel like you're at a very like transitional point in your running career, which is going to be really cool to follow along with. And for anybody else that wants to follow along with you, where can they find you on Instagram?
I am on Instagram at RunsOnPizza.
Which is just the best username ever for the running world. I love that one so much. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on and telling your story. Like I said, I could feel like I could talk to you for 2 hours just on every, I'd love to break down every single marathon of yours. But I feel like we at least hit the important ones, the first and the mm-hmm. revenge and then the big majors. So again, I just really appreciate you coming on and telling your story.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.